At this point, I would like to turn the microphone over to Jonathan Bartholow. He is our district superintendent of Iowa, and he blows my socks off every time he talks, so I told him he had to bring his A game today. So let's welcome Jonathan Bartholow to the stage.
Well, good morning, everybody. What a joy to be back with you. Some of you are like, back with me? When were you here the first time? Well, 100 years ago. So our family served as missionaries to India and then with Chi Alpha. And I just want to start off by saying thank you. Thanks for your investment in our lives. Thanks for loving missions and the mission of God. And I just want to celebrate that with you and say thank you. Pastor Mike, thanks for this opportunity. Thanks for your continued heart for missions and for all you do, not only here in the church, but for our network. Some of you may know that Pastor Mike serves as the sectional presbyter for this region. And I will tell you that your pastor likes to smoke meat. And I'm telling you, he is second to none. And at Christmas time, they hosted a Christmas party, which I got to tell you, two things came out of that. Number one, I learned that when Pastor Mike gives you an invitation to come eat some of his brisket, you want to say yes. You want to say yes. It will not disappoint. And then secondly, there was this gathering of pastors back in December. I sat with another pastor who I hadn't really interacted with before, and I said, we have a 22-year-old single son. Let me show you a picture of him right here. There we go. So that's our son on the right-hand side, our daughter in the middle, our son-in-law, Jacob, and my wife, Erica, sitting there. Last time we would have been here, they would have been super young. But I'm sitting with this pastor, and I said, we have a 22-year-old son. And they said, oh, really? Well, we have a 19-year-old daughter. And I'm like, is that right? And they said, we need to have you over for dinner. And so December 22nd, our family went to their house for dinner, and now my son and their daughter are dating. And I told my son a few weeks ago, I said, you realize if y'all get married, this would have been an arranged marriage, right? And he goes, yep, and I'm okay with that. And so, our time in India rubbed off on us. And so anyway, thank you, Pastor Mike, for hosting that. We may get a daughter-in-law out of that Christmas banquet that that you started. So yeah, so there they are. I was told when we became empty nesters a couple of years ago, people said they'll come back. And I was like, not our kids. Our son moved to Florida. There's no chance. I mean, look at the incredible weather that we have here in Iowa. I mean, even look at what's forecast this weekend. And I'm like, he's gone to Florida. There's no chance he's coming back. Well, he did. And he lives with us. And we're happy about that. And then our daughter and son-in-law were up in Cedar Falls at the University of Northern Iowa, and she graduated back in December. And then they decided to move to the Des Moines area. So the end of December, our daughter and son-in-law and the dog and our son were all living under the same house again. And by the grace of God, they closed on a house the end of January, and they have moved out. And we're praying our son gets married soon, and he moves out, and our house will be restored back to being an empty nester. So when they said they would come back, I didn't realize they'd come back multiplied and running over. So anyway, we're going to send them out, and then they're going to stay out in Jesus' name. So I mentioned your heart for missions. I love it. In fact, there were several of you who today asked me where I'm a missionary to. And I guess the answer to that question would be Iowa. But I don't currently serve in a formal missionary capacity, but I'm grateful to be able to partner with churches who still believe in the mission of God. And how many know that the mission of God has not changed? We were commanded to go into all the world and to make disciples. And I love that your church cares about this community and you care about the world. And the mission of God hasn't changed. Do you realize that there are 3.4 billion people living on the planet today who have never one time heard the name of Jesus? These people are called unreached. They live in areas of the world where there's no church and there's no gospel witness. 3.4 billion people, nearly half of the world's population, has never one time heard an adequate presentation of the gospel. When we zoom in from looking at the world and we just zoom in on the state of Iowa, there are 1.7 million people in our state who are religiously unaffiliated. So we're not just talking about people who aren't followers of Jesus. We're talking about religiously unaffiliated. And if you were to take and calculate lostness, which I don't know what the statistic is for that, then I'm sure that that number would be higher. But there are 1.7 million people in our state who are religiously unaffiliated. And the stats say that most likely they're second generation religious unaffiliated. It means their parents and maybe even to the other generation with the grandparents didn't have a religious affiliation at all. And yet the mission of God hasn't changed. For us to go into all the world and to make disciples. And then we zoom into Mahaska County. And there are over 12,561 people in this very county who are religiously unaffiliated. And the mission of God hasn't changed, to go into all the world and to make disciples. God invites us to be part of His global mission. And I pray today that all of us would have an open and a responsive heart. If you have your Bibles, I'd encourage you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4 today. Ephesians chapter 4. As you're turning there, this passage is rich with insight, and we could spend weeks unpacking it. And someone told me that immediately following the service that they were going to Winter Jam. And I said, well, I will shorten my message today from 3 hours down to 2 hours, and then hopefully you'll be able to get on the road sooner. If I had that much time, we could unpack all of the wonderful things in Ephesians chapter 4. But Pastor Mike told me that I do not have 2 hours to preach today. And so we'll just focus on a few things. But here's what I see in Ephesians chapter 4 are three interconnected aspects to the call of God. And the Lord is calling, and I wonder what our response will be. How many of you screen your phone calls? Would you raise your hand? Okay. Almost all of you. I'm in good company today. If I see an unrecognized number that comes up on my phone, I can assure you I'm not going to answer it. Right? I'm going to be like, nope. And if it's somebody and it's important, they'll leave a message and then I'll call them back. And here's what I want to say this morning is the Lord is calling. And I pray that when heaven shows up on our caller ID, that we'll answer the phone and we'll say, speak, Lord, your servant's listening. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Well, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 1, it says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. The first call that we receive from God is the call of God to salvation. What a tremendous call that this is. Contrary to popular belief, not everybody's going to make it to heaven. And I'm grateful that as a church that all of you didn't clap and cheer at that point, right? It's not a point that we celebrate. Instead, it's a point that drives us to our knees to pray more for the lost who are in this county and in our state and the United States and around the world. It causes us to give generously to missions. Without Christ, we're all on a path to destruction and eternal separation from God. But God in His love for us, the ESV reads of John 3:16 and 17, it reads this way, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. And because of what Christ did, Paul writes in Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, he says, He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. What an exchange. The Lord has called us out of darkness and into His glorious light. And God's desire is that everyone, everywhere would experience this. God's desire is that everyone, everywhere would experience this. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9, it says that the Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Aren't you grateful that the Lord was patient with you? Aren't you grateful that He gave you one more opportunity to hear the gospel and to respond to the call of God to salvation? I mentioned some statistics earlier about Mahaska County. There are 22,045 people that live in Mahaska County. and over 12,500 of them are far from God. That's more than half of the population. Some of you could look at that with a defeatist mentality, or for those of us who are followers of Jesus, we could say, challenge accepted. Lord, in this moment, you have raised up a standard in this community. You have anointed us for such a time as this to push back the forces of darkness and to advance the gospel. So when we see the statistic that there are more who are against God than for God, it should not cause us to fail in defeat, but instead it should inspire us to say, here am I, Lord, send me. And these are the very people in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 that it's referring to when it reads that the Lord is not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Every student who's far from God in the school, every coworker that you work with who's far from God, the Lord is not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. For every lost family member that you have in your family, it's not God's desire that they should spend an eternity without Him in hell. It's His desire that they should reach repentance. Imagine if all those who are currently far from God would become followers of Him, what that would do for New Sharon and for Mahaska County. Can you imagine? If you haven't answered the call of God to salvation at the end of this service today, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. And I pray that today would be the day of salvation for you, that you wouldn't test His patience any longer. He extends a call to everyone, everywhere, to salvation. Just a few pages before the passage that we read in Ephesians chapter 4, we see in Ephesians chapter 2 this contrast between the old life and the new life that God calls us into. It says, we were dead, but now we are alive. We were enslaved, but now we're enthroned. We were objects of wrath, now we're objects of grace. We walked among the disobedient, now we fellowship with Christ. We were under Satan's dominion, now we are unified with Christ. This is what God calls us out of and into. And when we accept the free gift of salvation, when we experience the forgiveness and the deliverance of sins, when we move from death to life, when we experience this closeness in our relationship with our Maker, then the only response for us then is to answer the call of God to serve and to say yes. If you haven't answered the call of God to salvation, I would encourage you to start there. But if you haven't answered the call of God to respond, I pray that today you would answer that call. Paul says this in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. He says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 reminds us that in light of what God has done for us, the only reasonable response, the only reasonable thing for us to do is to offer ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to Him. This isn't just about showing up on Sunday. It's about living this out every day of the week. It's about not just consuming when we come to church, but instead serving. And there are so many ways. This is going to be a moment where y'all can say amen super loud. There are so many ways for you to answer the call of God to serve and engage church. Amen. Some of you are like, oh, there's no place for me. Did you hear the way Stacy leads worship? I could never lead worship like that. Did you hear the way the guy plays the drums? Like, I could never play the drums like that. Did you see the smile on David's face when he welcomed you into the church this morning? There's no way that I could greet like that. Well, I'm just telling you, I know your church has the best, but there is a place for you as well to serve and engage church. If you haven't answered the call of God to serve, find Pastor Mike at the end of this service. I promise you, we'll delay our lunch appointment today to stick around so that you can tell him the ways that the Lord is calling you to serve and engage church. Let's look back at Ephesians chapter 4, 11 and 12. It says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Do you see what it said there? It said that the church is filled with the saints to be equipped for the work of the ministry. God gave us the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers, not to do all of the work of the ministry, but to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. And he continues in Ephesians chapter 4 with the fruit that we exhibit when we respond to the call of God to salvation and the call of God to serve him. Verse number 2 says, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Throughout these verses, there's this exhortation for us as the body of Christ to maintain unity. And when we answer the call of God to salvation, we can't do that without God. And when we answer the call of God to serve, we can't do that without God and without each other. And Paul is writing in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, to live a life worthy of your calling. And then in our calling, as we serve, we need to demonstrate these fruit that were just mentioned, humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another. And for some of you, you're like, this is super easy, Pastor. I'm so glad that you chose to preach out of these verses today, because in fact, my life verse is Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 2, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. And you just say, I am the most humble person on the planet. I'm the most patient person on the planet, right? And for the rest of us who live in the real world, this verse is hard to live out, right? I don't know what your Facebook newsfeed looks like, or for those of you who don't use Facebook because you're not a boomer like me, and so you're on Instagram, whatever your newsfeed looks like. But I'll tell you what mine looks like right now. It looks like this. If you don't see things the way that I see them, you must be the worst of humanity. And then other people on the same issue say, if you don't see things the way that I see them, then you must be the worst of humanity. And that's just on our social media. And I would imagine that if we were to do just a survey of your social media, all of you may not agree on all of the same topics. And yet we are called to live in unity with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. And some of you might be like, Pastor, you don't understand how hard it is. Can I tell you something? Listen, if I was your daddy, this is what I would say. Kid, you can do hard things. Right? And it's hard for me to preach this message because I'm not the most patient person on the planet. And you know what my wife says to me when I start doing something and then exhibiting not patience in my life? And I'll be like, it's hard. And she's like, what do you tell people? You can do hard things. Thanks, baby. I appreciate that. Like, we don't get to take a Sharpie and mark out the verses that are difficult for us to live out. When we come across verses in the Bible that our behavior is not in alignment to, we don't scratch those out. Instead, we bring our behavior into alignment with the Word of God. And so Paul gives us this urging and this exhortation for us to maintain unity. Right. And then he goes on to talk about the essentials and unite around the essentials. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father over all. These are the essentials. Paul emphasizes our call of God to salvation, our call of God to serve, the fruit that we bear while we do it, and our unity in the essentials. And in verse number 7, it says, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. We don't serve in our own strength and in our own power. We're called to serve under the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit, who's given us these gifts, and we're to use these gifts for the building up of the body of Christ. The final interconnected aspect of the call of God is the call of God to ministry. And I want to give this disclaimer before I continue this morning, and it's this, that I am a firm believer in the priesthood of all believers. And as such, we all have a part to play in God's global mission. I also believe that for many of you, the Lord has called you to the marketplace, and that is a high calling. It is not a lesser than calling. I believe that I'm looking at a congregation full of people this morning who don't just show up to work to clock in and clock out and do your time and leave, but instead you believe that the Lord has called you for this moment to that place to be a light for Him. And so you serve with intentionality and you let the light of Jesus shine bright through that. We need God-fearing, Bible-believing, Spirit-filled people in every sector of society. Our daughter just graduated from the University of Northern Iowa back in December. In the spring semester of 2025, our daughter called us and she said that she graduated with a social work degree. And she was in one of her classes and the professor stood up and mocked followers of Jesus and said, "If you're a follower of Jesus, this is not the field for you. You should quit now." And our daughter called us so upset, and I said, "Baby, why would you let the opinion of one woman who has set herself up in opposition against God keep you from fulfilling your destiny?" We need God-fearing, Bible-believing, Spirit-filled people in every sector of society, and especially in the sectors where they tell us we don't belong. Come on, somebody. With that said, God is still calling apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. Let's look back at Ephesians chapter 4, 11 and 12. "And He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ." I think we've made the call of God into vocational ministry some mystical thing or something that's reserved for only the most spiritually elite Christians or the most intellectual. And the reality is the Lord is just looking for people who will give Him their yes. The Lord's just looking for people who will give Him their yes. And I'm telling you that you can trust Him with your yes. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 26, it says, "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God." The president of the Bible college that I went to used to say, "God doesn't call the qualified, He qualifies the called." God doesn't call the qualified, He qualifies the called. You know, I didn't grow up, and I don't come from a long lineage of ministers. I come from a long lineage of sinners. My parents didn't get saved until I was 16 years old. I don't have any royal priesthood that I came out of. And so when I read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 26, and it says, "For consider your calling, brothers, not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many of you were powerful. Not many of you were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God." It means something for me. Right? I'm grateful that God doesn't call the qualified, He qualifies the called. And if you'll allow me for just a moment, I want to take you on my journey through these three different calls. I got saved when I was 11 years old at a New Year's Eve watch night service. And I don't have a dramatic story of what the Lord saved me out of, but I'm grateful for what He kept me from. Grateful for what He kept me from. And when we talk about the call of God to serving, I loved serving the Lord in any capacity when I was a kid, and still today love serving the Lord in any capacity. It's just in me. And when it comes to this third call, the call of God to ministry, I have a few memories of the country church that I grew up in outside of Memphis until I was 11 years old. And here are a couple of the memories. One is one day I was standing beside my twin brother. Yes, there are two of us. It's a great world. Thank you. Yes, Tim. Yes. Yes. So standing beside my twin brother and our father, and this man walks up to my dad and he goes, "Them some healthy boys you got there, Ronnie." I said, "Dad, what does healthy mean?" He says, "It means you're fat, son." Thank you. Thank you. What an encouraging word. Man, that guy has the gift of exhortation. Look at there. I mean, I would just encourage you today to not look at anybody after the service and tell them they look healthy, okay? Like, I'd also encourage you not to tell them they look sick either. So, you know, find something in between there to encourage your brothers and sisters today. But the next memory of that very same church, which may very well be connected to the first memory, is the pastor used to tell my parents that he knew I was going to be a pastor when I grew up because of how much I enjoyed eating fried chicken. So if you're wondering if you are called into vocational ministry, just ask yourself, if you were to drive to Pizza Ranch today, would you eat the pizza or would you eat the chicken? And if you were to eat the chicken, God may very well be calling you into pastoral ministry as well. The reality is as silly as that illustration is, there is something that was prophesied over me when I was young that lit a fire within me. And think about the power that each of us in the room have today in inspiring the next generation to answer the call of God. To answer the call of God to salvation. To answer the call of God to serve. And to answer the call of God to ministry. In that church, there were others that continued to call things out in me. And we transitioned to an Assemblies of God church when I was 11. And at that church, the lead pastor of that church and the kids pastors and youth pastors and lay leaders called out in me the things of God. And there was an opportunity to serve and to develop and explore. And the body of Christ, the local church, fanned into flame the gift of God that was within me. They modeled for me what it was like to follow Jesus. They taught my Sunday school classes. They taught me how to share my faith. They sent me on missions trips, and they helped me to understand this call of God to ministry and to answer it and develop me along the way. And I never had this lightning bolt supernatural experience when we talk about the call of God. I just said, Lord, here am I, send me. And I think for many of us, we're like, Lord, if you're calling me, would you make those blinds just go up for no reason? And then they do, and then you're like, oh, I was just kidding, Lord, like three times. Can you make it happen three times? And we put some ridiculous fleece out when the Lord is just looking for us to give him our yes. I pray, Lord, if there's anything in me that you can use it for your glory. And I'll tell you that that there was a season of my life when I served as a worship pastor. Okay, so I can sing today. So I'm telling you the end of the story so you don't feel sorry for me when I share the beginning of the story. You're tracking with me. Okay, so when I was a kid, we used to have special music at church, which some said was neither special nor was it music. And on a Wednesday night, for whatever reason, someone thought that it would be a good idea for me to stand up and to sing a song in front of our youth group. And it was bad. And you say, how you know it was bad? Because people give you looks when things are bad. One of those looks is just straight down to the ground because they are like, if I make eye contact with you, I'm going to lose it. But then the body can't ignore what the ears are hearing. And so the shoulders begin to shrug as they're like, is this for real? You know, the other is the look of sheer terror on people's face, like, make it stop. And at the end of the night, this lady came up and she gave me a note. I'm going to show it to you in just a second. But there were some things that happened for me when I was nervous as a kid. And one is my hand would shake like this. And you just couldn't hide it, right? And the other thing, I told you I grew up in Memphis, my leg would begin to shake like this. And I promise I wasn't trying to imitate Elvis. It was absolutely humiliating. Those were just the way my nerves manifested. And I'm grateful that today that's not still happening. But at the end of that night, this lady gave me this handwritten note. I still have it today. And here's a picture of it. She said, Dear Jonathan, I enjoyed your song tonight. How many know that you should not lie in church? Okay. Like the fact that this woman is still alive today is a testament to God's grace and to his mercy. She said, it especially blessed me because I could see how much you want to use your talent for God. Keep working to develop the talent he has given you. Signed, Miss Teddy Harris. As a teenage boy, I was 13 years old when she wrote that note. As a teenage boy, I thought, I am the man. Someday, people are going to come hear me sing at Winter Jam. Someday, people are going to pack Wells, whatever it's called, Wells Fargo Arena. What's the new name? Casey's Arena. Sorry. People are going to fill Casey's Arena to listen to me sing. As an adult, I read that note and understand what she was saying. Son, you cannot sing. Please, for the love of all things good, don't ever do that again without taking singing lessons. Right? What did she say? She said, keep working to develop the talent he has given you. I share that story with you this morning because I'm not overplaying it. As a kid, I didn't feel like I had anything to offer to the Lord. I didn't feel like I had any natural talents or any natural giftings to give to him. But I just said, Lord, here's my life. And if there's anything in it that you can use it for your glory. And I just wonder if there are some ordinary people in this room today who feel the same way. And you're like, God, I don't feel like I have anything of natural ability or talents to offer you, but God, I'll give you my life. And if there's anything in me that you can use it for your glory. I promise you, the Lord is just looking for faithful people who will give him their yes, and you can trust him with the rest. The mission of God hasn't changed. 3.4 billion people living on the planet today who have never one time heard the name of Jesus. 1.7 million people in our state who are far from him. Over 12,500 right here in Mahaska County. And in Iowa, there are 36 of the 99 counties that don't have an Assemblies of God church. And yet he's calling everyone everywhere to salvation. And Paul poses this question in Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. How then will they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how are they to believe in him in whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they're sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. The Lord's still calling shepherds. He's still calling missionaries. He's still calling teachers. And I would say that the Lord, I would be as bold as to say that even from this church, the Lord's calling some to be an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a shepherd, or a teacher to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. My time's up. I'm just teasing. So where are you at in these three calls this morning with the call of God to salvation, the call of God to serve, and the call of God to ministry? The second one's super easy. It's just like, okay, like, yes, I don't have to pray about serving in the church, right? Like, we just do it. Find Pastor Mike at the end of the service and let him know. But where are you at with the call of God to salvation? I told you at the beginning of this message that I would give you an opportunity to respond. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. If we close our eyes and bow our heads all across this room this morning, maybe there are some of you who've come in who say, I don't have a relationship with Jesus. I've never asked him to be my Lord and Savior. I've never confessed my sins to him. I've never experienced the forgiveness of sins. And you say, today I want to move from darkness into light. I want to move from being a child of wrath to being a child of God. Maybe there are others of you who at one time walked with God, but you've turned your back on him. And you say, today I need to see my relationship restored back to him. If that's you, you say, I need to ask Jesus to come into my life for the very first time. Or you say, I need to see my relationship restored back to him. When I count to three, why don't you slip up your hands all across this room? One, two, three. Lift them up all across this room. Thank you. One, two, three, four, five, six. Thank you, Jesus. Seven. You can put them down. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And if you raise your hand, I want you to repeat this prayer after me and mean it with everything that's within you. But know that you won't be praying this prayer alone, but that each of us in support of you will also be praying. Let's pray this morning. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for me. I admit that I'm a sinner. I admit that I've messed up. This morning I ask for your forgiveness. Come and give me a fresh start. Be my Savior. Be my King. Take over every area. Take over every aspect and help me from this day forward to live for you with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my mind, with all of my strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give him praise for what he's done this morning? I'm going to invite you to stand all across this room. If you raise your hand and you prayed that prayer, in just a moment, Pastor Mike's going to come up and he'll tell you some next steps to encourage you in that decision. But I want to pray a prayer of blessing over you this morning before I do. But before I do, how many of you love your pastor? Can you just give a hand clap of praise to the Lord for bringing this family here? Man. The stories that he's been sharing with me of what's transpired over the last 12 months is miraculous. And God is using your church in powerful ways. And guys, we're so grateful for you. Thanks for saying yes to the call of God, right? To the call of God to salvation, the call of God to serve, and the call of God to ministry. And each morning, you wake up each day and you continue to say yes to that. And we're so grateful for you and for your family. So I just want to pray a prayer of blessing over you that God would give you the courage today to say yes to the call of God to serve. And for some of you, that you would have the courage to say yes to the call of God to ministry. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your goodness, your grace, your love, and your mercy to us. We thank you for Pastor Mike and for his family, for bringing him here to New Sharon, and for their faithfulness in this assignment and the fruit of that ministry. We pray that you would continue to bless them and bless their family in this church. God, we're grateful for all that you've done over the last 12 months. Lord, for the people who have given their hearts to Jesus, who have encountered life transformation. But when we look at the statistics this morning and we realize that this church is in a county that has over 12,500 people who are religiously unaffiliated, we say, Lord, we're not content, and it's not for selfish ambition, but it's because we understand the seriousness of eternity and the consequences of people not being followers of you. And so, Lord, we pray that you would light a fresh fire in this church for evangelism, that, Lord, as we go out of this place, that we would walk out as commissioned agents for you and your global mission. Lord, that we would let the light of Jesus shine bright in every area of our life. For the students who are going into their classrooms, I pray that you would use them boldly to lead those who are far from you to you. For those who are walking into their places of employment with coworkers who are far from you, God, I pray that you would give the courage as you have commissioned and sent them out to go into all the world and make disciples, that they would let your light shine bright through them in their workplaces. And so, Lord, we pray that you would send a revival. Let it start in Mahaska County. May it start in Engage Church right here in New Sharon and work itself out throughout the county, through the rest of the state, and through the world. Lord, we thank you for the faithfulness of this church and its commitment to your global mission and the generosity throughout the years that's been displayed in that. And God, we pray for even an increase in generosity, that there would be more missionaries that would be sent out of this church, that there would be pastors and evangelists that would be raised up and discipled in this church, and that believers would come alongside them like believers came beside me and fanned into flame and developed me and gave me opportunities to develop this gift in me. And Lord, I pray that you would do that in this church and all generations, from young to old. Lord, for the elders in the room this morning, for them to realize that you're not done with them yet, that there's still a call on their lives. And Lord, we just pray for blessings on them and for this church. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
If you were one of the seven who raised their hand this morning, would you just take time to fill out the connection card and make sure I get it before you leave? We have a Bible that we would like to give you this morning, and then that just allows me to be able to connect with you this week for further conversation. You weren't here for Sunday school? You have no idea what we taught? Who was in Sunday school this morning? How did that not just go perfectly, almost identical on what the word was? So here's what I believe. The Lord is calling somebody forth this morning. There's no reason why the same message was shared twice. He has no idea. I had no idea. The Lord knew. So if he's calling this morning, answer. Come and see me, and let's get that process started. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. Lord, for your goodness and your glory. Lord, that your plan is far superior than ours. Lord, I pray clear across this room, you have called, you have equipped, Lord, that you have encouraged, and Lord, you are building this body to be stronger. Lord, that you are sending us out into our spheres of influence. Lord, that that 12,000 number would turn into an 8,000, then a 6,000, then a 2,000. And then all of a sudden, Lord, there's revival through this state because of the yeses that were given here today this morning. Father, use us. Father, in any way that you see fit, may us all say yes. Yes, Lord. Yes and amen. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Would you join with us as we close in a song of worship?